People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note right here on Fine Music Radio. And today we're talking about, well, I want to say a fairy tale, but apparently it isn't quite a fairy tale. Into the Woods, Peter Turin's production, directed by Stephen Stead, is about to open at the Theatre on the Bay. Now, it's described here as a sleek and sexy beast of a musical, in turn moody and magical, witty and wise, providing the kind of intellectual and emotional satisfaction and the kind of exhilarating theatrical experience that you would expect from Stephen Sondheim, who wrote it. And you know that Stephen Sondheim, the creator of musical masterpieces such as Sweeney Todd and with Leonard Bernstein and West Side Story. So you follow, apparently, the trials and adventures of a collection of well-known fairy tale characters from Cinderella, Rapunzel, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Red Riding Hood as they go into the deep, dark woods. But it's also a play not for children. But we'll find out about that, because the role of the witch, which is apparently a coveted role, is played by Kate Normington. And Kate is my guest in the studio this evening. Kate, every now and again I have a guest and I say to them, it seems ridiculous that I haven't had you on People of Note yet after all these years. Why have you been avoiding me?
I haven't at all. I've been ready and waiting. I've been on my toes, primed, and here is the moment.
Here is the moment. But Kate, you are described here as one of South Africa's favorite and busiest actresses. And if I were to even start reading some of this, it would take up actually most of the interview. You really are incredibly busy in straight plays, in musicals. We know you from Nonsense. We know you from Sweeney Todd, Mamma Mia, High School Musical, all sorts of things. So you are clearly quite very busy.
Quite diverse. I'm a jobbing actress, as a friend of mine once used to say. And if you ask any actor or actress at the moment in South Africa, they will do pretty much anything to keep the wolf from the door. But having said all of that, it's all good and grist to the mill and all, you know, goes into this sort of melting pot that comprises who you are as a performer. You know, good in parts, like the curate's egg.
Yes, like the curate's egg. They should write a play called The Curate's Egg.
I'm sure there has been something.
But of all the things you do, are you what they call a triple threat? Because you can dance and sing and act.
No, I'm not. No, As people have kindly said to me, I'm a mover. But I can, you know, I can get by. And I like to do everything within my capacity. Let's just be euphemistic okay. here. And people can make their own minds up.
Kate, before we talk more about you, because I want to find out, I'm sorry, I'm going to pick all sorts of things out of your long career and talk about, but I think let's talk about this Into the Woods, first of all, a Sweeney Todd musical. I don't know whether this is a good or a bad thing, but I don't know it. I know there's been a film starring Meryl Streep, who I think played the same role as you are, the witch.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about Into the Woods.
Into the Woods, well, you described it so perfectly in the beginning, and I thought, well, I wonder where that quote's from, because I'm never going to be able to top that, because it is deep and dark and magical, and it starts off with some fairy tales that are known to us, others that are less so, but you identify with them immediately, and you go a path with them until the first act is through, and then the second act picks up the cudgels again where you left off, where you normally end a fairy tale with your children, and carries on to see what happens beyond that.
Oh my goodness.
And that's when it really starts getting interesting, because, you know, I suppose the deeper, darker parts of the fairy tale are the parts that we should be telling our children. I mean, not trying to frighten the living daylights out of them, but and I suppose we do tell our children these fairy tales, and it's only when you're an adult that you realize what they're really about.
Well, exactly, because isn't it true, I read somewhere, fairy tales are quite dark. Children are exposed to really the dark wolves in the night and
Hansel
grandmothers
and Gretel,
being murdered.
The witches eating little children. You know, they are incredibly sort of almost medieval,
yes,
you know.
Yes. And yet our children survive and are somehow richer for it.
And informed by
it. Informed, yes.
So Sondheim kind of takes a little step further, and, you know, it does get hyperbolic in places, but it's extraordinary. And, you know, the stories are very emotionally invested, and you travel with them. You really do invest with certain characters, the baker, the baker's wife, who take the audience on this journey, and you meet all the different characters
from those different fairy tales.
Mm. And you go through a journey. You go into the woods, and I think everybody will emerge at the end with something, you know, whatever they're going through in their lives. And it's strange because I did this show, how many years ago? 20 years ago, I played the baker's wife. And strangely enough, the actor, the English actor, playing the wolf in that production, said, you know, at the time it was like entering a glade, and we were all sort of cast under the spell. And the same is true of this production. I defy anyone to tell me in the world, wherever Into the Woods goes on, that, you know, they don't all, the performers in it, go through some sort of transformation. It's inevitable. It really is uncanny.
It sounds almost mystical, as I think you said just now as well.
It's
dark and
religious,
mystical.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about that in a moment. But first of all, I'm intrigued by your first piece of music. What have you chosen for us?
I've chosen Eva Cassidy's Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I think has to be one of the most beautiful songs ever written. I think it was Harold Arlen.
It was Harold
Arlen,
yes.
Who wrote so many extraordinary songs, and people like Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland sang a lot of his initially. But Eva Cassidy is a modern day heroine, and has a very sort of modern following. But her rendition is particularly haunting. And yeah, let's take a listen.
Away up above the chimney tops, that's away. wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops, oh, way above the chimney tops, that's where
Eve Cassidy and her version there of Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. And the first choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Kate Normington, who's playing what they call the coveted role of the witch in the Peter Turin production of Into the Woods, directed by Stephen Stead, a Stephen Sondheim musical. Twice now, Kate, I've said the coveted role.
Yeah.
And although I said I haven't seen the film, I do happen to know that Meryl Streep played that role.
Yes.
Why is it the coveted role?
Well, I think because the character has such range, you know, she's not easily identifiable. I mean, apart from the fact that she is the witch and people have a very definite idea of what witches
look like.
And but I don't think many people have kind of really thought about what the witch in a fairy tale actually means. And I sort of looked into it a little when I was looking at The Witch. And, you know, I think that in this context, certainly Stephen Sondheim wanted an oracle, somebody who was wise, you know, the sort of crones medievally who people would go to, the medicine woman who knew more than she let on. But who eventually gained the trust or, you know, or was spurned by a village. But they, you know, they were certainly women with insights that were not immediately sort of visible to everybody else. So
so we're not talking about the Wicked Witch of the West here.
It's sort of different. It's a very
philosophical character.
It is, although she is very human and bowed by everything else that bows the characters around her. She's afraid of the giants. She's afraid of loss. She's very human, which is why she connects to the other characters. But she makes decisions and she is in a position where she kind of unassailably knows what's right. There's a line in the musical where she says to Cinderella and Little Red Riding Hood and the baker, she says, you're not good, you're not bad, you're just nice. I'm not good, I'm not nice, I'm just right. I'm the witch, you're the world. So she sets herself apart from it and kind of elevates herself. It's an interesting character because she feels like she's a warrior. And, you know, I suppose in a modern day context, she'd be giving lots of TED Talks and leading the country. Or
oh, that's an interesting becoming, analogy. Yeah.
No, she wouldn't be becoming president of the United States. She'd be working for the UN or
yes,
something like that.
Or trying to sort out Brexit.
No, not a Theresa May.
Oh, no. So it's a role that, as you say, the fairy tales sort of get mixed up. So
very
it's not a
so.
Witch that's assigned to a particular fairy tale.
No, they all, they're in conversation with one another, and they all the stories all influence
what
one
an
another.
Interesting idea.
Mm. And you see, Stephen Sondheim is, I mean, he has created a universe, Rodney, so much so that yesterday our musical director, Drew Baker, had said to us during one of the songs that the baker and the baker's wife sings, I think it's called Maybe They're Magic, they're talking about having a child, and there are three notes around which the music centers, only three notes, and it means that is the theme, these three notes, and they're looking to have a child to make. And this is Sondheim. He weaves everything in minutiae, you know.
Which we know so well from Sweeney Todd. Mm. And does it sound a bit like Sweeney Todd, or is it quite a different sort of feel and world?
No, it's a different world. It still has that darkness and that edge, you know, the minor Stephen Sondheim chords. And he has a sound. I don't know how you would describe it, Rodney, but it's sort of otherworldly at times, isn't it?
The word you use now that I absolutely agree with is edgy, because I think I only know Sweeney Todd, apart from one or two separate songs, but edgy is how I would describe Stephen Sondheim.
Although it's classically, you know, it's
classically
it's steeped
based
in classical influence. It turns so many corners, you know, unexpectedly. I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Is it easy to sing?
No.
Very well.
But, you know, we have some classically trained, especially the girl playing Cinderella, who sings it absolutely beautifully and perfectly and in the original meter. The rest of us bring up the rear.
I see, okay.
But it's still exciting.
I remember with Matilda, when it came here just recently, I had never heard that show or seen it. And I remember going and enjoying the music thoroughly, but not really remembering it.
No.
Or coming out whistling a song.
Exactly.
And yet at the time, at the production, thoroughly enjoying the music and thinking how appropriate it was. And that also was a bit dark and edgy. Is this a little bit like that? Do you come out whistling Over the Rainbows, or do you come out thinking, it was fantastic music, but I don't remember a single tune?
No.
Be careful how you answer this.
I know. It's strange that you say that about the Tim Minchin, because I also had not heard a lot of the music prior to that. And some of it, you know, I felt was, you know, a bit more, you know, I kind of had to get used to it, but I didn't come out whistling the tunes, like you say. As opposed to that, I think Into the Woods is very accessible, strangely. Things like You Are Not Alone and Careful the Things You Say, Children Will Listen are extraordinarily beautiful tunes that people cannot help but be moved by. They're sort of
and
the ilk.
Remember them. Yeah, exactly.
And that's not to be derisive about Tim Minchin.
No, because as we said, it was so appropriate at the time.
Exactly.
Let's have another piece of music. What have you got for us this time?
What have I got? You like this, Rodney. It's the Brahms Violin Concerto, and I think you're taking it from
the tenderest movement.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you've thrown this into the mix?
My mom loves this, and she would play it on a vinyl on Sunday mornings at ear-deafening levels.
Okay. Well, at least it didn't put you off. It stayed with you. And it's got this lovely oboe at the beginning as well. Oh. Someone once said it sounded like an oboe concerto, and then the violin comes in. And this is with Nigel Kennedy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
sadly, we have to leave Brahms's violin concerto there, part of the second movement in a lovely performance with Nigel Kennedy as the solo violinist there. And another choice of my guest, Kate Normington, who's with me in the studio today on People of Note, brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. And we're talking about the Stephen Sondheim musical Into the Woods that opens at the Theatre on the Bay on the 31st of January. And Kate, it seems to me to be quite a big cast. I mean, it's not huge like, say,
Oklahoma. Yeah,
but it is quite a cast and quite a list of posh names.
Very, very auspicious members. Earl Gregory playing the baker, so incredibly beautifully. Jessica Saul playing the baker's wife. Skooman Smit, who plays the part of the steward. Megan Rigby, Little Red Riding Hood.
And you've got Michael Richard there, I see, as the narrator and the mysterious man.
Yes.
Gosh, it's quite a cast. And is it a nice ensemble? Do you work together well? Is it going well? Tell us it's going well, please.
Oh, incredibly well. Candace van Litsenburg playing Jack's mother, incredibly beautifully.
Yes, because she's...
great humour.
Oh, she's lovely. She can be completely mad if she wants to be.
Nuts, and then very tender.
Exactly.
No, they're an extraordinary cast. Mm-hmm. They've all got comedy bones, serious bones. They all switch on a dime, which is fantastic to watch. Mm-hmm. And everybody just goes. It's a runaway train, this, Rodney, and everyone's on it. I have visions of trains in Calcutta with everyone hanging off, yes. You know, and that's what we're like, and moving at great speed.
Is there comedy, a lot of comedy?
Oh, yes, yes. It's not all dark.
Not all dark.
And sad. There's an enormous amount of comedy, and people will be laughing, crying, you know, from
Does
one second
good?
To the next. Oh,
costumes
yes. No,
because the publicity material looks magical.
It is. It's opulent. And I haven't yet seen everything, but Greg King, Stephen's partner, has put together the most beautiful set, comprising a huge sort of central piece that comprises the wood. But I don't want to give anything away.
Actually,
I don't want to give spoilers.
Right. Don't give spoilers.
No.
Okay.
But it is opulent and lush and very good
magical,
to look at.
Gosh. I'm most intrigued, as I say, having never seen it or heard any music or seen the film. So I'm most intrigued. Now, just let's move away from the play very briefly, because we said right at the beginning, Kate, how very busy you are and how versatile you are, and you really seem to have done everything. And one of the things, and I want you to tell me more about this, because it sounds really quite posh, that you understudied the role of Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard at the Adelphi Theatre in London's West End. Not just anybody is asked to do that.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting time. I suppose I went over to London thinking, well, you know, let me do this.
And let me go and slay London.
let me go and get a part. And then I did. And, you know, I thought that was how it worked. You just went over and auditioned and you got a part. And then it was only after the first year that I realized it doesn't always happen like that. And I had to struggle and sort of pay my dues. But initially, you know, I got the first job I auditioned for, and at that stage, they offered me the second understudy to Betty Schaefer, and of course, I had to come back home because we hadn't entered the European Community at that point until '94 with the first elections, and then after that, I could go back on a passport. And I had time to live and work there. But before that, I was illegal. So when I went back, I approached the management of Sunset Boulevard again. And they said, well, do you want your old job back? I said, yes,
only
please.
Only now legal, yes.
And then they offered me, the first time I was first understudy to Betty Schaefer. And then the second time I'd gone back, they said, well, how would you feel about understudying Norma Desmond? And of course, you know, I was thrilled. But the woman who was playing first understudy, Elisa McElroy, I'll never forget her. Because, of course, we're all still old friends now on Facebook and we chat to one another. But she would go on every Thursday. It was in her contract that she would go on as Norma. So she'd phone in on a Saturday and say she wasn't well enough to come in, but if Elaine wasn't feeling well, she'd come in and play Norma.
Oh dear. But theatricals for you.
Yeah, but I understood her position. And they eventually did ask me to go on as Norma for one mind-blowing night. And thankfully, the sound engineer that night recorded it for me, because I have it on record now. And I have a CD of me playing Norma on the West End, with the orchestra. It was an extraordinary time. And I should have stayed on in London, but I came back to get married and thought, I can't stay here. I can't live in South Africa. And 18 years later, I'm still here and married.
Because clearly, we love you here. You keep getting all these wonderful roles, not only on stage, but on television as well, which we'll come to. I want to find out more about how you got into this mad business of theatre in just a moment. But let's have another of your choices of music.
The next song is Steely Dan. I like this track because it's quite plaintive, and it sort of, I always think Donald Fagen plays your heart back to you so that you can hear what it sounds like, and this is what your heart sounds like if it were to speak.
Rose, darling, come to me. Snake Mary's gone to bed. All our steaming sounds of love cannot disturb her.
That was Steely Dan in a piece called Rose Darling. Another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Kate Normington, who's in the Peter Turin production of Stephen Sondheim's musical Into the Woods, directed by Stephen Stead, and which opens at the Theatre on the Bay on the 31st of January. You heard quite a cast list as well that we spoke about there. But Kate, Now I'm going to concentrate on you and your background. And I said just before the music to try and find out how you got into this mad business, because it is in a sense a mad business, but a wonderful business. Has it always been in your blood? How did you become this busy, favorite, versatile actress?
I don't know. I suppose I sort of fell into it like most performers do. You know, you don't choose it. It chooses you. And I went to WITS. I studied at WITS, but kind of left early on and started singing in clubs. I don't know if you remember the old 58 Club in Johannesburg.
Yes, I do. In Hillbrow.
In Hillbrow, which yes. was a favorite haunt. And Natalie Gamsu, Joanna Weinberg, Louisa Purr, Sam Maria, Natalie DeRocher, they all
Gosh,
cut their teeth
yes.
there. And Barbara Thompson, who ran it, had some extraordinary performers who worked there. Jenny DeLenta.
I remember seeing Jeremy Crutchley there doing a strange sort of gothic show one night.
Oh, really?
Years ago in the 80s.
How fantastic. Mm. I mean, Jeremy, yeah, Jeremy does all sorts
Weird
of
things.
strange things, but he's a musician as well. He plays guitar and he writes his own music. I think that was during the time when he was playing Frankenfurter.
That's right.
In
That's
the Rocky right. Horror at the time. So yeah, I'd started singing in clubs like that, PF in Rissick Street, Fox and Rissick in town, which was opposite the Rand Club in those days.
Mm.
So I just, and then once I'd started, I didn't stop, you know. I think it has slowed down at intervals, but I said to a friend the other day, I've sort of thought of leaving this industry almost upon having entered it, but have never finally left, and I continue to work as long as they'll have me.
But Kate, you've had some fantastic successes. Nonsense, for example,
yeah.
And you've received Naledi nominations for your role as Mother Superior in that, and that was Sister Act, Fleur de Cup nomination, Mrs. Bryce in Funny Girl,
I remember
seeing that, was at the Few Guard.
Yes, also another member of our cast in Into the Woods is Ashley Harvey, who is not playing a huge role in Into the Woods, but is sort of almost... She's playing with one of the ugly sisters, but of course Ashley Harvey played Fanny Bryce
in Funny Girl,
and is an extraordinary performer. So she is into the woods as well as Sarah Richard, Michael Richard's daughter, and Diane Simpson, who is playing the stepmom. Sorry, I thought I'd throw that in.
No, do. But just to get back to the list, I mean, if I'm going to try HMS Pinafore, Camelot, My Fair Lady, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Grease, Sweeney Todd, Mamma Mia, High School Musical.
Bombshells.
Bombshells.
And then more recently, I suppose, yeah, Sister Act and Funny Girl and what did we do recently? Present Laughter.
Present Laughter. You were in The Curious Incident.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night with Kai Brummel and
That's
Ashley
right.
Dowds.
Gosh, what a show that was.
Mm.
But then you've also done things like, I mean, you played with Mark Lottering and Auntie Merle.
Yes.
Which must have been fun and something quite different from what you normally do.
Extraordinary. And what was interesting about Mark's show is that for me, it brought so many elements together in a new South Africa, and without being overtly political, was able to address some issues. I don't know if you saw it, Rodney.
I didn't, you know. And a few people said you must go and see it, but I haven't seen it.
It's such a gentle, funny, lovely piece, which is what Mark Lottering is. He's a gentle, lovely, very funny somebody. And what he manages to do in bringing people together of all races is quite extraordinary and unsung, actually. Mm-hmm. But like Evita Bezuidenhout, Peter Dirkhuis, who addresses very hard racial issues with humor, Mark does exactly the same thing with a different flavor, but they manage to get under the skin of some of these issues and answer some questions, which... nowadays is
it's
sadly
the perfect
needed.
Way, exactly. It's the perfect way to have these questions asked and answered through characters like that. Because his character, Auntie Merle, rather like Evita Bezuidenhout, is someone he's created who's really special and central to his performing life.
but is kind and compassionate and incredibly funny. So she's able to say things that other people aren't able to, but sort of open up a discussion that would otherwise, you know, be terrifying for most South Africans. And but in that way, brings people together to look at issues that are incredibly difficult and show people what they do, you know, illustrate, mirror back to them how insane they are, which is such a wonderful talent.
And what about your appearances on television? You've been on television and on the couch, various drama series, The High Rollers, Tully's Wedding.
Tully's Wedding, oh, that was divine, with Julia Anastapopoulos, who people know better as Suzelle DIY.
That's right, DIY.
That was, Tully's Wedding is just one of my favorite things I've ever done. She and her husband, Ari Kruger, have written this piece, which will hopefully be ongoing, about a self-involved narcissistic Kugel who organizes her wedding and, you know, the shenanigans involved with that. But yeah, so hopefully there'll be more of that.
Do you enjoy working for the small screen? Do you enjoy television?
I do. I like it.
But I want you to say that the stage is better.
Absolutely, it
That's
is.
That's what I want you to say.
No, it gives you your chops. It definitely gives you chops.
Right.
TV, you can, you know, you can, you have opportunities to fix frames, but stage, it's a once off. You have to be there in the moment, and if you don't get it right,
That's
it's over.
It. It's gone. Let's have another piece of music, Kate.
All right.
As we, you know, race through this.
All right. Steely Dan's Gaucho.
Two Steely Dans in one show.
Two Steely Dans.
I wonder if that's allowed. Okay. Yes, you're allowed to.
Gaucho, I don't know why. I used to listen to this in the car coming home from work at night. And Gaucho, yeah, was just one of the ones. Yeah, listen to it. You'll understand why.
Would you care to explain?
your friend will never be welcome high in the Costa Dawn.
That was called Gaucho, Steely Dan there once again. Clearly a favorite of yours, Kate. Oh, yes. Steely Dan, I mean.
Yes.
Donald. Do you know, Kate Normington is my guest. Kate, I have to ask you this because of my job. Yeah. Do you like classical music? Do you like, I mean, we had that lovely Brahms. Mm. Do you listen to a lot of music at home when you relax?
I don't, strangely. I used to. But a lot of my friends who are musicians say that they go home and they like quiet.
Yes, that's very true.
Do you do that as well?
I do too,
right?
And I get into trouble because I'm supposed to be the program manager and I don't listen to the radio
music.
As lush or to music. I listen in a very formal way at home.
Yes.
Rather than background music.
Exactly.
So I would say I'm going to listen to a cycle of Beethoven string quartets, for example. So yeah. I do it quite formally.
Exactly, so that you pay attention to it. I yes. can't have something
No, I
going
can't do
on.
Background music.
Isn't that strange?
It's my biggest problem in restaurants.
Yeah.
Do you find that as well?
Yeah. It's a distraction because your focus is so
yes.
Divided.
It's sort of split, yes, yeah. between the food and the company and this music.
You're hearing it and you have to pay it attention.
So I treat music very almost sacredly when I'm at home listening, because at work you can't listen as easily because there's so much else to do
yeah.
in the studio.
But when you're at home and you mm. want to...
I mean, as an actress, what mm. do you do when you're away from the stage? You said you like silence. Do you cook? Do you relax? Do you go
running? I
read.
Running? I run.
You read.
I read and I run. I like to read. Write a little bit and run. I'm better on the page. I'm very sort of labored speaking to people because I'm better on the page. I can edit judiciously, you know. And
what do you write, Kate?
I just like my writing. I'm addicted to Facebook. I'm ashamed to admit, but I do, and I've written great tracts of things that have yet not been published and should possibly not remain unpublished. But I'm not ashamed to say it. But I love reading. I've just finished a Toni Morrison. What is it? The Bluest Eye. I should be reading at the moment, but Steve Instead, who is going to shout at me when I'm late now for rehearsal, says he also can't read when he's rehearsing. Mm-hmm. Again, it's that distraction thing.
Exactly. And it's the focus you need as well for the job in hand.
Exactly. I think once we've opened, I can start letting go
yes,
the reins
yes.
a bit.
And when this is done, is it a touring production? What's your
yes.
next big thing in 2019?
We go on once we've opened. On the 31st is the first opening in Cape Town, and then the 4th of February in the Theatre on the Bay is official press night, and then we run for a month, leave on the 3rd of March, and open again in Joburg round about the 5th.
Okay.
Of March.
So it has a Johannesburg run as
it
well.
It has a Johannesburg run.
And then no touring, not like these big
no.
year-end musicals. Because I think Matilda's touring, isn't it? It's going
yeah.
all the place.
Yes, it's kind of doing, I think it's 18 months worth.
Yeah, gosh. Imagine being hooked into something for 18 months.
No.
Well, anyway.
Yes.
So just to end then, I think, Kate, that we've discovered that this phrase that I used at the beginning, and it wasn't me, by the way, it was what they call the blurb.
Yeah.
Into the Woods is a sleek and sexy beast of a musical.
Yes.
I think we've kind of agreed on that, haven't we? And that it says, don't be deceived, this is not a play for children, but it appeals on both levels, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you can
So you
bring
can take
children.
A family along to this.
Absolutely. I don't think, I think it'll appeal on so many levels. So don't be afraid to come and be blown away.
And to look out for you as the witch. Do you dress in a hideous way and use
well,
a horrible voice?
I can't tell you anything.
Oh,
Rodney.
True. Okay, no, you
You'll
can't.
Have to come and see to find out.
Okay. Well, keep a lookout when you go and see Into the Woods for Kate Normington as the witch Norrington. Kate Normington.
Normington.
So
or as I've been mistaken, Kate Turkington, but she and I have... we know that that's always going to happen to us in life.
I have to just say that there's a typing error here, so it wasn't me. The one says Normington, and the other one says Norrington, like the conductor, Sir Roger Norrington.
As I was once called, Norma Ballington.
On spoonerisms, lovely, or malapropisms. Okay, Kate, what is your last piece as we sail you out of the building?
Okay, you're going to get down with some Earth, Wind & Fire, because we're going to sing some September.
Now, why did you introduce it like that?
Because I think this piece was written just above the Mississippi Delta or thereabouts. No, I'm being ridiculous now,
no,
Rodney.
You're not. It's great fun. Thank you. So that's what we're going to end with. And Kate Normington, it's been great having you on People of Note.
Thank you so much.
I'm really looking forward to the show. It opens, as you said, on the 31st at the Theatre on the Bay. Peter Turin's production, directed by Stephen Stead. And as we listen to this music, Kate, thank you. See you again soon.
You're a scholar and a gentleman, Rodney.
Oh, gosh, you can come again. People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Peter Turin and Kickstart invite you to take a musical journey into a world where nothing is as it seems. From the 30th of January to the 2nd of March, revel in Stephen Sondheim's sublime musical, Into the Woods, starring Kate Normington, Earl Gregory, Ashley Harvey, and a star-studded cast at Theatre on the Bay. Go into the woods where witches can be right, giants can be good. You decide what's right, you decide what's good. Into the Woods, only at Theatre on the Bay from January the 30th.